Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
In the morning, we're taking a look at our leftovers from last week, and we've given you guys like one sentence teases and want to know which story you want to hear about. Jeff came to the plate with this one.
What has gotten stolen from your place when you've had someone over for a hookup?
I have a friend that went frumpy, and is it going to ruin her marriage?
I said,
go ahead.
I said, if you use Match.com, there is now a way to find out the real truth about other people that are registered there.
And mine was the most inappropriate request for sex ever. The timing on it couldn't be worse. All right, so let's go to the phones. Good morning, Josh.
Am I the only poor smuck in Atlanta that doesn't know what the word frumpy even means?
So you want to hear Jen's story?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Intern Jen tells me that these are representative of all the calls that we've taken. Okay. So good morning, Keisha.
Hi, I'm voting for your story.
Because it has to do with sex. All right. Yes. Good morning. You're on All the Hits Q100. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Burt Show.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to say that I want to hear Burt's story.
All right. Inappropriate sexual request.
Yes. There's not many things that are more interesting than sex, so.
Agreed. Good morning, Tanya.
Good
You're on
morning.
All the Hits Q100. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Doing great. Is this Burt?
It's all of us, yeah.
Hi, Burt. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
I'm so excited to talk to you all.
Well, thank you.
You all are great. I mean, the Burt Show makes me get up in the morning, no matter how harsh it is.
Thank you.
6 in the morning to jump in my car just to listen to all of you.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's a great testimonial. Thank you.
Who's your vote? Who's your vote for?
I voted for Burt.
All right. Okay. Thank you. It's sex. It's all about sex.
Oh, yeah.
Sex.
Well, we got off the air and I looked at Burt and said, I kind of want to hear yours.
Yeah.
You guys got to know you got to come to the table for sex if you want their
I know.
You want to get their attention.
All right.
Burt gets his leftovers on.
All right. Here's the story. And I'll throw the topic out right off the bat again and hope we get some calls on it again. 404-741-1005. Because really it is. It's perhaps the worst case of a request for sexual timing that I've ever heard, or sexual timing request. Like, here it is. And I'm sure women have relatable stories here, because when it comes to guys, we can turn it on and we can turn it off quick.
Right.
Really quick. And we know this about women, that that switch doesn't flip nearly as quickly for women.
It's more of a dimmer for women.
Yeah.
You got to turn it up slowly.
Yeah, just slowly. That's right.
All right. So Stacy and I have some friends that don't live in Georgia. They actually live in Seattle. And they've been married, I guess, now for, I don't know, 2 years maybe? Yeah, I guess about 2 years. And they had a baby a year ago, so it's still in the infant stage. And our friend Jean's husband one day just decided, he woke up, gets to work, and decides, you know what? This isn't the place for me. So he walks into the boss's office and he quits. That's it. You know what? He has a nice paying job, too. They were doing real well. They were doing okay, you know? So he just quits his job. He's realizing that this is not his calling. He wants to go somewhere else and do something else. So he quits his job. Comes home and tells Gene, hey, I had this epiphany. What I was doing before is not where I wanted to go. And I walked into my boss's office today. Gene, you're going to be so proud of me. I quit my job. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take 4 weeks off just to hang out with the family. And Gene says to him, wait a second. You just walked into your boss's office and you quit your job? You don't have anything else lined up? And he says, no. It's kind of like the new me. I'm feeling kind of new about things. Need a fresh start. And she says, we have a mortgage payment now. We've got a newborn. You don't consult me before you go into your boss's office? And he says, I didn't really even think about it. Actually, I've been thinking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you and I have talked about how my mood's been kind of crappy the last couple of weeks, and I thought you would just support any decision that I made. And she's like, are you out of your freaking mind? We've got a newborn. How are we going to eat? We don't have we don't have a whole bunch of money in the bank or anything. So they get in a big fight about it. and it's not resolved by the time they go to bed.
Because he already quit.
He already quit. He doesn't have anything else lined up, but he's feeling pretty good about himself. He feels like it's a jump start on a new life and all that, and she's sitting there and her mind is obviously reeling, like, what the hell are we going to do? First, I feel disrespected because my husband never consulted with me. We're a family now. Secondly, I'm in a panic now because I have no idea how we're going to feed our kid. And third, he doesn't have anything lined up. And fourth, he wants to take the next 4 weeks off. So while he's sitting there kind of in bed, I guess in the dark, smiling about it, she's got a headache and is reeling, and he starts to make the move on her.
He tried to ask her to have sex with him.
Yeah, well, he doesn't like verbally ask, but he like starts, you know, starts
the motions.
The shanky danky shonky donkey donkey donkey.
Maybe he's got that Lyme disease thing.
Where he forgot what he did.
Where he just starts to lose his mind.
So obviously she gets out of bed and turns on the lights and says to him, what has transpired over the last 4 hours to make you think that I'm ready for sex right now? And he, again, was sitting there with this dumb look on his face like, my God, what have I done?
Like, oh, let's just do it.
Oh, no, come on.
Come on.
I'm frisky. I'm feeling good about things. So she obviously turns him down. And I looked at Stacy when she was telling me the story, and I said, there could be no worse case of a request for sex than that. Because she was so upset by the whole thing.
Right.
So this is what I want to know from you guys. What's like the worst timing that your man, because I think, I'm guessing men are more guilty of this than women are.
Just being insensitive to what's really going on.
Right.
Yeah.
And asked you for sex when there was no way in the world you guys were in the right mindset for it. Although Ray's calling up. Hey, Ray.
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on?
You tell us, man.
Well, I was dating this girl for a little while, and she had seizures from time to time, and her request was the next time she had a seizure was we had sex.
While she was having a seizure?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No. It never actually happened because I was afraid, you know, something would actually go wrong and you know, she'd get really hurt. But
she ended up swallowing your tongue.
Yeah.
So she said the next time I have a seizure, quickly try to have sex with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that goes under inappropriate categories.
Unless you crash, then you start showing them flashing lights and fancy video games and stuff.
Bring a strobe light home.
Yeah.
No, I don't even think the most insensitive guy could get her all fired up for that.
That's a little crazy. Yeah, I'm not sure that's a turn on.
Yeah.
No, I'm into crazy things, but that was a little bit out of my league.
Wow.
Any kind of reasoning behind the whole thing for her?
No, she just told a freak.
Damn, wow. I'd say. All right. I don't know how you're going to beat that score. I think we may have our winner right there.
Thanks for participating in this radio bit, everyone. Go ahead and hang up now.
Bye now.
Wow. I'm still digesting that one.
Ooh.
Morning, all the hits, Q100. Hello.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, Bert.
Hello.
Okay, you're talking about not the right timing, right?
Right.
Okay, my father passed away. We had to fly out of town. My husband couldn't leave when I left with my brother and sister. And my brother said, hey, let's get a hotel room together while we're up where my parents are from.
Mm-hmm.
I said, fine. I said, you know, because the first two nights, my husband wasn't going to be there. Well, the day of the funeral, my husband flies in and decides that we need to go to the hotel room while everybody's getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
So he can get a little action.
Yeah. I just looked at him. I said, where have you been? And he goes, well, I missed you.
Good.
It's your father's funeral and he wants to have sex?
Yeah. Well, it's a day away, but he just went into town. And I'm thinking, my brother is in, it's like a suite. My brother's like outside the other door. I'm thinking, are you crazy?
Well, there are many
other. Well, it's your father's funeral. Yeah, who cares where your brother is? And I love how men turn around, but honey, I missed you.
Right.
Yeah, I know. 2 days is all we were apart. I said, you just flew in. He's like, he just kind of looked at me dumb. I went, oh, you're crazy.
Insensitive. All he's thinking about is his needs. I got needs, woman.
Hey, Veronica.
Hey there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
All right, worst, like, timing on a sexual request?
I'd had a facelift, breast implants, and an eye lift.
And you're all, like, mummified, wrapped up and stuff?
You got that.
Ew.
No, did you do it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, my God. You come home all bandaged up and all broken and stuff, and dude is like, this is so hot.
Yeah, because there wasn't anything hot about it, let me tell you.
Unreal. Guys.
See, why y'all going and getting that Victoria's Secret stuff and getting yourself all nice and sexy? All you got to do is mummify yourself for some guys. Hey, good morning. You're on All the Hits Q100.
Good morning.
Hi.
Boy, I have a story for you guys.
Okay.
Well, I've been married for a few years and found out a month ago that my husband was cheating, totally by surprise. Found a text message on his phone. Well, so he up and leaves a few weeks later. Now, mind you, we have a year and a half old baby girl, and he's just gone. Continuing the affair, find all these things. Suddenly comes by the house a few weeks ago and decides he's going to try to get some.
Dude.
And he really thought that would work.
He really thought it would work. Started taking my clothes off, even. And I'm sitting there going, no, excuse me, hello.
At that point, you're like, what are you even thinking?
Exactly.
That's great. You know what? You got to, at some point, admire a guy like that for the effort.
When?
You know, like, it's at some point, you got to think, at least he had the sack to go try that.
No, you don't.
No, not really.
Like you know.
Not
like,
so much.
Like when you watch those Japanese game shows when they are running down that, you know, balance beam with the big swinging weights going back and forth. Like, you're looking and goes, that's the stupidest thing anyone's ever done, but.
Bless you for trying.
You know what? God bless you for getting up there and trying it.
Hey, Mandy, you'll be the last call. What's up?
Okay, well, my ex, I woke him up and told him I was in labor, and before I could go to the hospital, he insisted I had sex with him.
While you're in labor?
You're in labor.
Fractions, I'm in labor. He's like, come on, baby, it's going to be another 6 weeks. Please.
No!
That's great.
It's like cramming for a test.
God bless
him. That's for sure.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Mandy.
All right, thank you.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
We have no boundaries, man. We have no boundaries.
Man.
We're always ready, man. We can always turn it around. We're always ready.
The Burt Show.
Jen Hobby, explain what Deadbeat Dad Patrol is, because that's what we normally do.
Yeah, normally what we do is we get emails from moms who are really struggling to get child support payments from these absent fathers, and they've gone through the courts, they've done everything that they can do, but the fathers are still not paying up, and they think, you know what, maybe some public humiliation will work here. So they usually email us their story, and we investigate this thoroughly, because there is no worse insult to call somebody than a deadbeat dad. So we make sure we do our research, we make sure that the story is legitimate, and that there really is a need to publicly embarrass this guy. So we send Phil Tarana out to the house with some pictures of the kids, and he knocks on the door and really confronts him about not paying his child support payments and does it on the radio to embarrass him and maybe embarrass him into actually paying up. So normally it works in favor of moms who are reaching out to deadbeat dads, but this one was a little bit different than that.
Yeah, Brian got divorced 4 years ago, and his ex-wife wanted nothing to do with their kids at all. Nothing. I mean, for a while there, she was paying child support. Then she stopped. Then she started up again. Now she stopped again. And by the time we're done with this, we actually found out why she stopped paying. And what a bitch. What a total bitch. This took place over about 90 minutes of the show, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of condensed it down to 15 minutes because we know you guys that listen this early can't listen late in the show. So this was our first Deadbeat Mom segment Friday morning on The Burt Show. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
All right. How are you today?
I'm all right.
Give us some of the details because you guys have been divorced for 4 years now, right?
Yeah, 4 years. We have two kids, a 12-year-old girl and a 9-year-old girl. And I have custody of both of them.
Okay.
Well, I didn't fight for it. She just decided, you know, she wanted her own life back, was what she said, you know. You know, she wanted to, you know, freedom to do her own thing or whatever, you know. Even when we were together, you know, she went to work a month after the kids were born, and I stayed home and raised them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's very career-driven. She makes more cash than me, too. A lot more, like, I don't know, probably at least double.
Can I ask what she does, and can I ask what you do?
Well, she's an accounting manager for a pretty big firm, and I'm a restaurant manager. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't make anywhere near as much as she does.
Well, it says in your email also that you specifically take, like, weekend shifts and stuff like that so you could spend more time with the kids. So
right.
The thing I got from reading your email is that you could work more, But you don't, because you take the responsibility of being a parent very seriously, so you don't take it and you don't get as much money, and that's why you depend on your ex-wife's child support, correct?
Right. I mean, there's only one parent in the household, you know, so, you know, I've got to spend time with them. We were okay after the divorce, but she only wanted to see them, like, once a month, and, I mean, they missed her, but at least she sent me some money, you know, it was like, $100 a month or something like that. It was, you know, it wasn't very much, but about 2 years ago, she just stopped sending the money, and I had to take her to court, and, you know, I mean, we could barely survive. The three of us are living in, like, a two-bedroom apartment, and she's living in a three-bedroom house, mm-hmm. you know?
All by herself?
Yeah. I mean, she hasn't paid a dime of child support. What happened was I won a settlement, and she was supposed to pay me $1,100 a month. And but for the last 4 months, you know, she paid that once in a while, but for the last 4 months, she hasn't paid a dime, you know. And before that, you know, she didn't pay that much, but she owes me at least $4,400. And, yeah, I spoke with her about a month ago, and she promised she'd get me $2,000 by June 1st. And what happened was the girls needed summer clothes, so I had to pay for that with my money. And when she told me she'd give me the $2,000, I promised the girls a vacation, and they could each bring a friend. We're going to go to Gulf Shores, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it's coming up July 4th. You know, I need the money. And, you know, if I don't get the money, I'm going to look like a jerk to not only to the other girls' parents, but to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was counting on that money. I mean, the girls are so excited. I mean, their friends, you know, they're all excited to go, and I don't know. I can't afford to take her to court again. You know, and she's hinting that, you know, well, she can take care of the kids now herself or whatever, but she's, you know, she'll never have time with them or anything, even if, you know, I just don't want to, even if I did go to court, I don't want to take a chance that she'll win and get the kids or something. I mean, that was just, I just don't think that would be a very good situation.
So it's a case now where you've promised her and you've promised her friends that you guys are all going on vacation together and they're all looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Getting away from work, and you're getting away from work and all that, and you can't do that because she hasn't paid you in how long?
4 months.
4 months, and she owes you $4,400.
Right.
We have Phil. He's on the way over to her house right now.
He's actually there. He's on standby, so whenever we're ready, he's ready.
All right, hold on 1 second, okay, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to get Phil Turan on the phone because he is outside of your ex-wife's home, and I just want to make sure it's the right home, so I want to get a description and just make sure that he's in front of the right place. Hey, Phil?
Hey, guys.
Are you out in front of Beth's home right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive this is the right place. It's a pretty nice house. The kind of the area I'm in is in between like Marietta and Kennesaw. There's like off of the area. I mean, there's nice neighborhoods all over the place. It's not like super high end houses, but they're not. You know, they're family houses. They're pretty nice. And the house I'm staying in front of, it's like it's kind of like a light blue house, and it's 2-story. There's a little deck on the front, and there is a garage around back. And I always kind of park one house down just because I don't want to be spotted. But there is a garage around back. I don't see any cars in the driveway, but both garage doors are down, and there's no windows on it. So maybe there's a car in the garage.
What did you bring with you? Because I know you had a file of stuff.
Other than a six-pack.
Tailgating.
I'll tailgate for Debbie Dad.
A big smoker on the back of his truck. Got a tent up.
I've got a folder, and inside of the folder I have obviously a letter from Brian, and then a picture of the two girls.
You want to approach the house, knock on the door, see if you can get her attention?
Yeah.
It's all in your hands.
Watch, she turns out to be a hottie, and Phil just like, hey, what's your number? And like starts talking to her.
As he's walking right now, his thought is, why didn't I go with Gene and Julie? Why didn't I go with Gene and Julie?
All right. There's a front door, and there's kind of a side door beside the garage. I'm going to go to the side door because it looks like it looks into the kitchen. And there's a hallway light on, but there's no kitchen light on, so. By the way, I hate these. All right.
Why are you nervous? It's just a chick.
Have you seen me? I'm not a very powerful man. All right, here we go.
That was Phil knocking on the door.
Oh, she's got a dog.
Phil's about to be eaten by a Rottweiler. Candy Graham.
Get out of here.
Land shark.
Get out.
Plumber.
This is serious.
I'm being serious.
No, you're not.
Just trying to bring some levity.
What's that mean?
Land shark.
Electrician.
All right. Get out of here.
Oh, shut up.
Is she not there, Phil?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see any movement. Hold on. Hang on. I don't see any movement inside. Like I said, there's one hallway light on. There's no kitchen lights on.
Does she work? I mean, it's almost 9
o'clock. What about going around to the front and doing the doorbell?
I can do that. Let me try that. Hang on. Let me get around to the front.
This would suck if we can't get in touch with her. What we should have done is done some work.
I see the dog.
You've got nothing?
I don't see any movement. I can see up the stairs. However, the only two doors I can see, they're both closed.
I mean, either she could have gone to work or maybe she could have gone out of town this weekend, so maybe Monday we'll have better luck.
Maybe. All right, just come on back here and we'll try it again on Monday.
Well, I am going to work. Do you want me to leave the folder?
No, come on back and we'll do it again Monday because these guys might be right. Like one of her friends might have called her and said, you better split because the radio station's outside your house right now and they're going to make you look like an ass, even though she's done a pretty good job of that herself.
All right.
So come on back. All right, I need the voice disguiser, Jeff, because Beth, not her real name, says she works with Beth. Good morning, B. You're on All the Hits Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know who we're talking about here?
I really do know who you're talking about here, and she's just about my least favorite person in the office.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well... First off, the reason that you can't find her is because she's not home. Okay. She's in Miami with a guy that she just met 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
You're right.
And second of all, I'm just really sick and tired of her being at the office bragging about how she's not paying child support.
Really? And
Shut up.
Oh, no. She brags about it every single day. And she's doing it because she wants her ex-husband to go broke so that he'll just hand the kids over to her.
Really?
But that doesn't make any sense, though, because she's wanted nothing to do with the kids this whole time, so why now?
Well, I don't... Apparently, she wants them back, and she thinks that this is the best way to go about it. I really can't tell you. I have no idea what's going on inside this woman's head. But I do have her cell phone number, which I am happy to give to you.
Why don't I do this? I'm going to put you on hold right now. We're just going to get some facts straight with Brian just to make sure we're talking about the same woman. And if it is, we'll get her cell phone number from you and we'll try calling her in a couple of minutes. Is that cool?
That's fine.
Hi, Beth.
Yes.
Hi, this is Bert and Jen and Melissa and Jeff, and we're on the radio right now on a show called The Bert Show on All the Hits Q100.
Yes, I know all about it. Wonderful.
Oh, good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing amazing.
Yeah.
What's happening?
We hear you're in Miami.
Yeah, you hear that.
Yes.
Yes, how'd you find that out?
You know what? You only have a couple of listeners, we can pretty much track all of them anywhere, you know? And we just found out that you're in Miami.
That makes sense.
You having yourself a good time?
I'm having an amazing time.
Soaking up the rays, enjoying yourself, relaxing a little bit?
Sure, just have some guy call you up and give you his side of the story, and then just call and slam mama. Is that what you're doing?
I mean, I guess this would be a great public forum for you to defend yourself here, but Brian, your ex, says that it's been 4 months since you've paid your child support, that you owe him about $4,400. He's already told the kids that they have a vacation coming, and their friends are supposed to go also.
Yeah, it's all very sad. Anyway, first of all, it's none of any of your business. This shouldn't be done on the air or off the air. You should have no knowledge of this. This has nothing to do with you.
So let me get this
straight. Nothing about the relationship or anything that's going on in my personal life. Would you like it if I called you up on your own personal stuff and put it on the radio? Would you like that?
I'm a better person than that. I would pay for my children.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, the point is that my ex, Brian, cannot afford to take care of these kids on his own, and he's never been able to afford anything since I've known him. And so maybe the idea is that since he can't afford it, maybe I should just take them back, which is what I'm trying to do.
By starving Brian and the kids.
By cheating them out of their summer vacation? By you going gallivanting to Miami and your kids can't go to the beach?
You know what? This is also a business trip. I'm not gallivanting in Miami, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So your little girls can sit at home and be disappointed this summer because they can't go anywhere on vacation.
You know what? This is so none of any of your business. It's unbelievable. Well, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with I don't know who.
It would have never gotten to any of this had you just done the right thing. Brian feels like there's no other way to get through to you except to publicly humiliate you.
Yeah, well, Brian needs to get a backbone.
You need to get a backbone and be a mom.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to get my kids back so I can take care of them.
So what is you wanted your life back. What does that mean?
No, what that meant was is that I had a very difficult time with the pregnancies, and I had a very difficult time after the kids were born, and we went into a very deep depression, and I went through years. I've been going through therapy, and now I'm on medication, and now I feel, and I'm positive, that I'm in a place where I can take care of them. At the time, I did not feel fit, and I didn't think it was appropriate for me to be around my girls. But that is what is going on.
So,
and of course, nobody talks about that.
So with you being on the medication, now you're thinking clearly, you think the great way to handle this whole thing is just to stop paying child support so your husband has no alternative except to give you the children back. That's what the medication has made you think clearly about?
Yes, because then I can take them to court, and then I can get my daughters back.
Why don't you up your prescription then? Because you're still not thinking clearly.
Okay, well, thanks for your help, doctor. I really appreciate that.
Beth, how do you feel about Burt Show listeners having to come up with the money to send your kids to the beach and you can't do it?
Yeah, how pathetic is that? Everybody's calling up.
Yeah, what's pathetic is that he's having to do it on the radio so he can have people chip in and feel sorry for him like he's done his whole life, okay?
What makes you think your daughters want to go back to you?
How do you have any idea what my daughters want? Have you ever?
How do you have any idea what your daughters want?
Of course they want to come back with me.
No, they don't. I've got more experience in this kind of thing than you have because I was the child of a relationship just like this where mommy bails for 10 years and then all of a sudden she wants to come back. You have no idea emotionally what you've done to your kids. You have no idea.
Well, you know what? No time like the present to fix it.
Oh, come on.
How do you live with yourself?
The youngest was 5 when you left her.
I'm doing the best I can.
No, you're not.
I feel sorry for him. I'm sure the judge is going to love that he called a radio station to take care of this.
And maybe I'm sure the judge will love the fact that you're bragging at work about not paying child support. The thing is, you enjoy your beach time and make sure your daughters won't.
Thanks. Whatever you have to say.
You're
Thank
super
you.
Individual.
Yeah, my beach time.
Just start to pay him the money that you owe him, that the courts have told you that you owe him. He doesn't want anything to do with you. Just pay the money. Be a responsible parent.
I am being a responsible parent, and I'm trying to get my daughters back. You've all been extremely helpful. I really appreciate it, and I hope all your listeners chip in to poor Brian.
You're a wonderfully warm person. Wonderfully warm. They're lucky to have you.
Well, would you be warm if you got a phone call like this?
I wouldn't get a call like this, because if I separated from my wife, I'd take care of my kid.
Well.
Have just a little bit of integrity. Good God, woman.
You know what? You guys have a great day.
Super. Enjoy your Miami vacation.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Brian back on the phone. Brian.
Yeah.
Good God. There must be times. I bring this up when we do these things from time to time. Can you believe that you are capable of marrying a woman that handles her business like that?
I actually feel like an idiot every time I listen to her talk.
Can you go into detail about why you got divorced? Because I'm not seeing it.
The Burt Show.
All right, we started with Dana a long time ago, 27 years old, had never been out on a date before. Her parents set her up with a 58-year-old guy. All of a sudden, this relationship, accelerates so fast. She falls in love with this guy. She's talking about having kids with this guy. She's talking about moving in with this guy. Well, the last time we check in with Dana, she goes on vacation with the old guy, and he's up in his hotel room probably sleeping or whatever, or eating something that he put in a blender. Either way, she's down at the pool just hanging out, and she meets a guy her own age, and this is the first time she's ever gotten any kind of attention from anybody. Mm-hmm. So she's all smitten by the guy. Here's about 90 seconds of the last conversation we had with Dana.
trip was great. It was beautiful there, and he got an amazing room for us. You know what's funny, though, is that actually one day whenever he was gambling and stuff, I was hanging out by the pool, and I started talking to this guy. And the reason why we started talking is because I heard his accent, you know, and I was like, oh, are you from the South? And he said, yeah, I'm from Atlanta. Huh? And I was like, that's where I'm from, too. And so we just started talking, and he's really, really attractive, like really cute guy.
Uh-huh.
He's like 30 years old.
Uh-huh.
And so we just started talking about stuff about Atlanta that we loved and what we were doing in the Bahamas, what we liked to do while we were there, and, you know, just stuff like that. And so we exchanged phone numbers and emails.
Mm.
But he was really, really cute. So, and it was just funny. I was like, I can't believe I'm talking to this cute guy, because if this would have happened like 7 months ago, I just felt like this wouldn't have happened 7 months ago. But here I am already dating Carl, and now this cute guy wants to talk to me. It was just really bizarre.
What do you think you're going to do with this whole situation? You think you'll start returning the emails? Do you think you're going to talk to Matlock?
I feel like I kind of do want to, you know, just go out with him just once, just to make sure and just to see. And I really think that Carl, you know, like I said, he's such a gentleman. He's so great to me. And I think that if I'm honest with him, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think he'd have a problem with me just making sure, since we've talked about commitment. And, you know, I feel like he would want me to, you know, do whatever I need to do to make sure first.
All right, Dan. Well, let's check back in with you again next week.
Okay.
That was a couple of weeks ago. And let's try to make predictions here on what we think is going to happen with Dana here. Hey, Tiffany, why don't you start it?
Hi. I either think that she is dating the guy she met at the pool, or she married Matlock.
Well, I mean,
is she what? Married Matlock?
Married Matlock. One or the other.
Polar opposites.
So she's either married to the old guy, or she completely dumped him and started seeing the younger guy?
Yeah, it could happen. I married my first boyfriend.
Okay. Hmm. 404-741-1005.
I think that she talked to him about dating other people. He said it was fine, but probably had that, you know, something in his voice making it sound like he was threatened. And that she, because she is such a nurturer for him and wants to take care of him, and she's into this so heavily, that I think they're engaged.
Engaged.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right.
I think that she just wimped out of going out with the younger guy because she didn't want to risk losing the relationship with the older guy. So I think she's still dating Matlock. I don't think that they're like that much further along, but I don't think she went out with the younger guy.
Jeff.
I think that she is married to the older guy, and they have adopted two children from China.
Hmm. Damn, you stole mine. I think the old guy turned this into a little his and his and hers. That's what I think happened there in the Bahamas.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I think. I think it was some crazy sex.
If he was a 58-year-old playboy, that might be the one thing he's never done.
Hey, CJ, you're on all the hits Q100. Hi.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good, man. Make a prediction here. We got Dana on hold. She's ready to go.
All right. I think that their last day down in the Bahamas, she probably walked in and caught Matlock giving himself a vegetable enema. And has now decided to move in with the young guy.
What?
Giving him a what?
A vegetable enema.
Yeah.
All right, that was going to be my second thing, I thought.
Yeah, well, that could be a part of the threesome, though. Creative.
Like washing yourself out with potatoes? Like, how does that, what happens?
Never heard of that. I don't know.
The wild world of colonics.
Maybe we just go right to Dana. Hey, thanks, Dana.
Thank you.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're not gonna tell us anything that has to do with a vegetable enema, are you?
No.
Okay.
Good.
All right, so the last time we talked to you, you're in the Bahamas, the old dude is up sleeping, you're down at the pool, you start hanging out with, luckily, some dude from Atlanta, young guy, giving you some attention,
mm-hmm.
and you're really starting to have some questions now. Should I start dating somebody my own age?
Mm-hmm.
If so, how am I going to handle this with Carl? Or should I just go with Carl and forget about the temptation of a young guy?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at?
Well, I told Carl, you know, that I met this guy from Atlanta by the pool, and he didn't really have the response I thought he would have. I think he kind of felt sort of sad about it or something, so I just didn't, you know, I didn't go out with the other guy. I just told him that he, you know, talked to me and that, you know, we got along really well and stuff like that. So I just by his reaction, I didn't go out with the other guy.
So you didn't want to lose Carl?
Yeah.
And you could tell that he was upset, so you didn't want to tempt that at all?
Yeah.
All right.
So I didn't. I just didn't even go any further with it. But I told him, you know, that we talked and stuff. But I just didn't go any further with it.
Now, I'm just curious, since you made that decision and you decided not to call the young dude, have you been thinking about him more? Because sometimes when you pass something like that up and you don't get a chance to explore it, it starts to consume you a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have been thinking about it. I'm, you know, just wondering if, you know, I made the right decision, if I should have gone out with him, you know. So, yeah, I have thought about it. It's not consuming me or anything, but, I mean, I have thought about it.
Now, what if Carl turns around eventually and he wants to come to you and says, you know what, maybe you were right earlier. Maybe we should start seeing other people. Would you be bitter about the fact that you made the sacrifice for him?
No, I don't guess I would be bitter about it. I mean, I don't know. Then I would probably, I don't know. I wouldn't say bitter, but I might be like, oh, man, I should have, you know, I should have done that. But I don't think I'd be bitter about it.
So have things progressed at all? Good God, have they progressed? How can they progress
well,
with Carl?
I mean, what I wanted to do was I wanted to take him to New York over the 4th of July, just as a thank you, you know, for taking me to the Bahamas. And, you know, so we're supposed to talk about going. But the way I've been feeling lately is I don't know, I don't want to go to to the 4th of July weekend in New York. You know, I kind of just want to hang out with my girlfriends because everybody's going to Lenox, and I don't know. Sometimes I kind of think right now I just want a little bit more space because Carl's kind of getting sometimes a little bit boring to me. You know what I mean? Like, not, I don't feel that way completely, but I kind of want to hang out with my girlfriends, but I already talked to him about going to New York. So I don't know. I'm just sort of thinking right now if I should stay home with my girlfriends or go with him. You know, like I don't know. I'm kind of wondering if I'm just going through a phase. But I don't know because it's my first relationship, so I don't know if people kind of feel like they want to cool off sometimes. I don't know. I just don't know if it's a phase or not.
You almost heard the dramatic dun-dun-dun-dun.
Did you talk to Carl about this yet?
No. I you know, after I told him about the guy and stuff, I just don't want to worry him because I don't know if it's a phase I'm going through, so I just don't want to talk to him about it.
What do your girlfriends think you should do?
Well, they still don't like me going out with him. So I really, sometimes I don't talk to them about it because I know what they're going to say. So, and they of course want me to stay with them and go to Lenox. So I already know what they're going to say.
What are some of the things that you know they're going to say?
Well, I mean, I know they're going to be like, well, you know, of course he's boring because, you know, you're younger and you should be having fun. And I do have fun with them. You know, I don't know, I'm just kind of feeling a little bit bored. But I do have fun with them. It's just a different kind of fun.
Are you starting to question now? I mean, because you guys haven't really been going out that long, although things have progressed really, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about marrying this guy and having kids with him, and now you're saying you're kind of bored by what's going on. Is that scaring you at all?
A little bit. I mean, because I don't know, I kind of feel like I'm just going a little bit back and forth right now. I mean, because on the one hand, you know, I was okay with that, you know, with not going out with the young guy because I do, you know, I still like Carl a lot. But on the other hand, like, I don't know, I feel like I need to have a little bit of space and have a little bit of fun with my girlfriends and, you know. So I don't know, I'm kind of going back and forth.
All right, calls are starting to come in now, 404-741-1005, as they always do when you're on. Hey, Kelly.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you. You're on with Dana.
Hey, Dana. How long have you guys been together?
Oh gosh.
I can't remember from the.
It's not been that long. I mean, it's just been.
Yeah. See, that's my thing. I mean, the whole age thing concerned me to begin with because my mom was married to a man that was 13 years older than her, and the marriage didn't even last 5 years simply because of the different habits. But second of all, normally when you're in a relationship and you've only been together for a little while, it should stay new for a while. You shouldn't be bored that easily. And you shouldn't be getting tired of them so soon. And my thing is, I'm just wondering if, because you've waited for so long to date somebody, it's usually a good idea before you start to talk about being serious with somebody that you, you know, date around a little bit, figure out, you know, what interests you might have, because you may not even know, you know, what you want out of a relationship right now. Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, it's so hard because you have no experience to fall back on, you know? Like, you don't have anything to compare him to. You have no previous experience in dating whatsoever. So he's the only guy. And I think if I was you, the big red flag would be, I have no experience. I was by myself before. I was alone before. And this guy still bored me to tears. You know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, in all fairness, because, I mean, I am concerned by the age difference. But in all fairness, most relationships, you have the honeymoon phase where you can't get enough of each other. You spend 24-7. You think about each other 24-7. You let the electricity, you forgot to pay the bill because you spend so much time, electricity goes out. You know, like, you forget together. I mean, like, you are so in love. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a certain period of time that happens, and then you start, you know, kind of going back to your friends. It's time to reconnect with your friends and stuff. So in dating, it's normal to have that intense phase that ends up kind of waning. But I don't know if the word boring comes into play when you kind of transition from the honeymoon into normal life again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably a combination of both, but I feel like the age difference is a factor in this, you know?
Hey, Andrea, you're on with Dana.
Hey, Dana. I just want to say, in about 10 years, your call guy is going to be dead. And don't ditch your girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
Because if you ditch him... If you ditch him, you're going to be left all alone.
Oh, come on.
I love how people think somebody's in their 50s is so elderly.
Not
he's not old. In 10 years, he's going to be dead.
So don't ditch your girlfriend.
Come on.
Hello?
Hi, Stacey. You're on with Dana.
Hey, Dana. I was married to a guy who's 20 years older than me. And we had 3 kids together, but after we divorced after 7 years because... interest just changed. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Go with a young guy, and...
Well, at this point, there really is no young guy. I mean...
Yeah, but there could be.
So you say, get a little bit more experience. Start dating people your own age.
Well, yeah, I mean, the age gap just does... It does not work.
But she went all of these years. I mean, she's 27 now, 28 years old, and never had a date. So you're saying, you know what, date guys your own age. But that wasn't
date guys
happening.
Your own age, date guys younger. Don't date someone. I mean, it doesn't work.
Can we please take the age out of this and remember that Dana is dating her first person ever, regardless?
You don't think age is a factor in her being
I don't
bored
think it's relevant
him?
In this. I mean, boredom, whatever. That's not relevant. Even if she wasn't bored with him and he was 1 year older than her, I would still say it's mm-hmm. your first. Her first date ever was with this guy. Age does not matter in this case.
I mean, if
it was a situation, yeah. Where, you know what I mean? Like, if we want to discuss the age thing, whatever. We're gonna get 50% of calls of people who are 20, 30 years apart, and they're perfectly happy. The other 50% are people going to say, I did it, my sister did it, so it was unhappy, blah. That's not it. The point is, anybody who went out on their first date, one date, and then decided that's the person they want to spend the rest of their life with, is wrong. Like, don't do that. Don't. Mm-hmm. That's a bad idea.
It's a naive decision.
Yeah, spend 6 months, date a couple other people, and then go back to that person if you want. Mm-hmm. But just don't, because my thing is the boredom is not going to have anything to do with, you know, the fact that their interests might be different because he's older. Mm-hmm. I think the boredom might come from the fact that 5 years from now, if they're married with a kid, she might go, God, mm-hmm. what else is out there?
What if?
Even if she was 21 and the guy was 22.
Hey, Dana, at this point, mm-hmm. do you have any idea what you're going to do for July 4th day and night?
No, I still don't know. I mean, I'm listening to what everyone's saying, and I don't know. I still don't know, because I still really like Carl, you know, and I just don't, I'm not ready to say, well, because I'm feeling a little bit bored, you know, that I want this to stop. I'm not ready to do that yet, so I'm not sure.
All right, well, let's do this. I mean, this will be perfect timing for us, and when mm-hmm. we come back on the 5th, we'll talk to you to find out what you did the day before on the 4th.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, and again, thank you for letting us share in this whole thing.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
I guess there's no real chance that he's going to listen in and say, okay, I don't want my life exposed here, because he doesn't even know that there's an FM band yet.
Come on.
But don't you notice a more maturity in her voice since the first time we talked to her?
Less giddy excitement that time, I thought, for mm-hmm. sure. Like, I thought when we've, you know, every time we've talked to her about Carl, she's been like, you know, kind of giggly and giddy. And this time she's like, yeah, I'm not so sure right. when I go to New York.
You can hear that. You can hear that. All right, we'll check back in with her on the 5th when we get back from vacation, find out what she did over July 4th.
Hey, The Bird Show.